Hi there. Today we are talking about debriefing, reviewing off of the first of a new program that we're starting, which is an experiment in running online workshops in completely different ways. And I'm Hilde Gottlieb, and you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Dimitri Petropoulos.
And I'm Rebecca Hurd.
Yay! We did a workshop last month. We're recording this in August of 2017, and in July we launched a new workshop program, and it's an online workshop that is part of our education programs, which is part of our mission, which the mission of creating the future is a 10-year experiment to see what humane systems would look like in our day-to-day lives and to see how much more humane the world could be overall if the systems that we encounter in our day-to-day lives ask questions that bring out the best in us. And so part of that mission to spread asking those questions is about learning what those systems might look like and then sharing what we learn through and the learning comes from experimenting, because this is just an experiment. Sharing what we learn in those experiments through our education programs, through convening programs, through demonstration and pilot programs, and sharing stories. And the education piece is where this fits in. And we've got education programs that run from free online videos, which we hope you guys have seen, all the way through to months-long immersion courses online and everything in between. And so this was a new program that was a sort of reverse classroom workshop. Reverse classroom meaning that rather than learning it all while we're talking together in real time, folks read all the materials, watched videos, and then we came together for a two-hour live Q&A so that they had time to absorb all of that information and then come together and chat with folks who were on screen, or the instructors who were on screen. We did a lot of different pieces to this. We did a different way of doing tuition, which I know that we're going to talk about. We did different ways of doing the technology so that people could step in, step out. And so we're going to be talking about all of that today, but I wanted to make sure that if you're watching, that you understood where this little segment of reviewing this experiment and workshopping fits into our larger education programs, where the education programs fits into our larger mission, and that our mission is to create a more humane world by the questions that we all ask.
And this is an education program too. I mean, this is, we are learning and also giving others the opportunity to learn off of what we have done. So that's the purpose of this live aspect of the video.
Ah, Rebecca's closing windows. There's construction going on at her house, and I just muted because there's airplanes flying overhead. So no matter what you do, that's what they talk about is live TV. So, which sort of brings us into why are we doing this and why are we including others in this conversation? These are normally internal conversations that organizations have. They review new programs all the time. They debrief off of events, and they always do that under cloak of silence, in closed doors, as they do with most of their meetings. And most of our strategy meetings and our learning meetings, we do openly online. And that is part of our mission, because if we're not all learning from each other, then we're doomed to repeat the same stuff over and over, because somebody learns it over here, but the person over here never learns it. And if we're going to create a world that works for all of us, then it would be nice if we were all sharing what we were doing. It's also a way of inviting participation. And so we hope that if you are watching, that you'll scribble down notes and either post them at the blog post or get hold of us directly or just post it into the YouTube comments. But that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it.
And we come into this meeting with no trepidation. There's no like, oh, I screwed something up and now I'm going to be called out. It's just a different way of being that we come in actually pretty excited and jazzed up to see what did we learn and what are we going to build on.
Yeah. Well, and there's no trepidation about doing it publicly either.
Yeah.
Because what we have found over time is that everybody goes, oh, you screwed that up too. We screwed that up. I'm really glad it's not just us.
Yeah, it really is moving the curtain and letting people see, you know, that the gears and the efforts are just like their own behind this. And it creates a community of people who can learn from each other.
We're all just humans.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We are going to be using catalytic thinking, which is the framework for asking questions that we use for every single thing we do, both at Creating the Future and in our lives. A series of questions that bring out the best in us, working with the way our brains work rather than triggering our survival mechanisms, working to activate that frontal lobe where we can be creative and rational and logical without worrying about being reactive. And so those questions are rooted in causality. Those questions are rooted in being human, and they're rooted in enoughness, in this deep belief that together we have everything we need. So with that as background, did I miss anything, guys?
No.
If we did, we will jump on in. As we look at, and hopefully folks who are watching have a chance to read the blog post that we posted about this this debrief, talking about the fact that debriefs are usually yucky. They're usually, let's talk about what went right for about 2 minutes, and then let's dive into what went wrong, and then everybody leaves feeling like shit. And so we would like to not do that. We would like to feel good afterwards, to celebrate what worked, to celebrate what the best parts were, and to learn from that, and to learn, you know, in the what can we do better. One of the things that frequently happens in debriefs is we go down ridiculously narrow rabbit holes that have to do with what one person's function could have done better. And then everybody has to pay attention to what happened with that one person, rather than taking that conversation and going, yeah, okay, we really need to focus on this. Let's do that separately. And then let's get back to a general review. So we're going to stay today in that high potential area, the area of what we wanted folks to get out of this session, this workshop, this month-long education program. And when we were preparing for this meeting, you guys, we talked a lot about the fact that sort of the aha, that the role of the facilitator and the role of the tech person was not about tech at all and was not about facilitation, really. It was about holding space, that it was about holding space for the participants, for the instructors, holding space for the entire experience, holding space for the potential of the event. So let's start there. And let's talk about the participants. What did you notice both in the before, the during, and the after that was in fact holding space for their potential to learn?
The individual communication that happened throughout their journey with a human. So you're with a human, like you're hearing from Dimitri. You were hearing from the co-instructors, Hildy and Christy. So there was a human sending you an email from their email address, welcoming you, inviting you. You know, it wasn't just from generic@company.com. It was, I'm the one who's going to be a part of your experience, and the experience starts right now.
Well, and up to and including phone numbers, and if you've got technical issues, how to text, how to call, how to do whatever. So it was definitely a very personal reach out to people.
Dimitri, could you speak up a little when you speak?
Yeah, I will do that. What I said is that including phone numbers and places where people could text in addition to email addresses, so that there was a personal way that they could reach back if they had a question, or from a technical standpoint, if they had issues or things that they were trying to address, so they would feel comfortable that they weren't alone in that moment when they were participating. Mm-hmm.
And I think in the materials that people may have read in advance, as well as the through line through the whole journey, was here's what you can expect. So even, you know, before you came into the experience, here's what you can expect. And I think, I guess I'll put in the parking lot and not go down the rabbit hole, some of the other additions and enhancements we could do around here's what you can expect. Yeah. So I will just note it. I'm not going there now. I think about the here's what you can expect was in all of the emails. Like, if it was a technology-focused one from Dimitri, he would say, and you're going to be hearing more from Hildy and Christy about da-da-da. And then in the Hildy and Christy email, it's like, and here's what you can expect next. You will be getting two more emails that will be telling you about details of X and Y. So it's kind of letting you know there is more coming, the context of what's coming.
Yeah.
I think there was a clear lack of assumption of what they... an assumption on our part of what they would expect, that we didn't assume anything and acted accordingly. So that's part of telling them this, that's part of showing them this, is not assuming, oh, you've been in webinars before, you've been in workshops before, you know what to do.
So if we weren't assuming, what were we doing?
We were laying the groundwork out. We were clarifying. We were giving examples. We were providing a path that they could go down if they had questions or issues, as opposed to them feeling, well, I guess I should know this. I'm not going to bother them. Mm-hmm.
And I think tied to that also, when we used any language like we flipped the classroom, we showed them it, but also explained the why we are flipping the classroom, because it's been found, and we want to make the most use of your lifetime, it's been found if you can read and absorb and reflect, then you can actually come to a two-hour session that's all focused on the questions you have, because we're giving you actually the upfront time to think and come up with questions you'd like to ask.
So we were both explicit about the why and explicit about the what and the how. Mm-hmm. I know one of the things that we also did was they got the logistics email of what to expect just from the content side. They got that two or three times. Mm-hmm. And it's very specifically said, we're sorry if this is a duplicate for you, but we know that people lose this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then they go scrambling. And I think part of what was nice about this, and I'm really looking forward to our doing the 4-week review with the folks, with the participants, to talk about what they remembered and what they experienced. But and I'll set aside the why wait 4 weeks. But part of what felt good about it in the responses that we got from folks is that we were putting ourselves in their shoes. And the fact that so frequently I have presented webinars and been at webinars, attended as a participant, and in both cases, I am nervous I'm going to screw something up. I'm always nervous I'm going to screw something up. And it doesn't matter how many times I've used a particular system. I am always afraid that they've changed the system or I don't know what I'm doing, and because I'm not a techie. And I'm not comfortable in that realm. And as a participant, I'm always thinking, okay, can they hear me? Can I hear them? Is my camera on? Can they see me? I'm in my pajamas. Mm-hmm. And so I think that sense of you know, putting our own nerves in their place, mm-hmm. I think that's a big piece of the holding the space piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think part of it is also not only what do they know, but what do they feel? Because a lot of what you're saying, Hildy, is how people are feeling. You know, I feel insecure. I feel that I don't have the knowledge that let me be comfortable. I think the focus on how people are feeling is a real critical component of what we were trying to do.
Yeah. And assuring them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, and that goes in, or what you can expect parking lot is so much about, because people may have been at workshops and webinars before, but I find that what we created, we're using a label that exists in the world, but it's actually not the label for the experience. So to say, to acknowledge, you may or may not have been in webinars or workshops, but this, whatever the name of it will be, we'll call it a work, you know, it's, we're calling it a workshop right now, is really a very different type of experience, and here's what it will look and feel like to you.
Yeah, well, and I know that as an instructor, and I know that we were talking about the participants, but I know that as an instructor, the fact, Dimitri, that you took the time, you nailed, you know, Christy and I are two of the busiest humans in the world, and you buttonholed us and said, no, we're going to do a walkthrough, and I want you to see where the buttons are, and I want you to mess around with them.
And I think tied to that is also that the facilitator screws around with Dimitri. Well, that doesn't sound appropriate, you know, but has a session where Dimitri and I clicked on everything and pretended a million different scenarios, mm-hmm. so that we were being mindful of the instructor's time. And all along the way, Dimitri and I were getting comfortable with this cool tool. And okay, we want to make sure that function is not on, or we want that off, or so that when we were with you, we had already done our upfront homework and playing, and Dimitri went even deeper than me, but we took the time to simulate the experience.
Yeah, I think what we had was an additional layer that frequently is not there, because frequently the facilitator is handling all of that, and that takes away from the facilitator's ability to be present in the actual session, because easily be drawn away by, you know, these mechanical issues.
So I think
having that component basically allows a deeper dive into that role than you would normally. But without both roles, then it becomes diluted.
Yeah.
As opposed to having the ability to really go deep into them and be able to give them most, the best possible outcome for each one of those roles.
Yes. You know, when we were talking about doing this review, and we were sort of shaping it, the three of us, the language of tech made no sense after a while. And what I've sort of been messing with in my head a little bit is that, and normally a facilitator has a very narrow functional role. And, you know, it's to welcome everybody. It's to announce who the sponsors are. It's a very, 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 very pedestrian role. Your role, Rebecca, was really to facilitate learning and to make sure that the instructors could teach and the participants could learn. And I'm really seeing that as a learning facilitation. Mm-hmm. Dimitri, your role was not tech guy. Your role was the experience. You were facilitating and holding the space for the experience. And mm-hmm. so if we understand that those are two very different functions, there's holding the space for the experience, which includes being comfortable with the technology and including the fact that the learning facilitator needs to be comfortable with the technology.
Yeah.
And
that's where it's each person is very present with a different focus, and knowing in advance Dimitri's going to be focused on that. So when we do have someone who wants to join the Zoom room, Dimitri's going to handle it. And if he needs me to kind of, you know, cause in the chat box to say, and now let her in, or I said, let her in once they wrap this topic, but he proactively was posting to me, let me know when you want Laura brought in. So, because meanwhile I'm thinking, what am I going to click? And then I'm like, I don't have to worry about that.
Well, there's another thing that in thinking about this and the roles that are here, this was a two-way conversation. So the instructors, you know, who, whatever we want to call you, you needed to be able to answer questions in real time, sort of on the fly. And that means you had to have all of your focus and brain power and thinking on for that, where it wasn't a, you know, this is a webinar where we're going to, you know, one way you're going to get the information going to you, and at the end you can ask a couple of questions. So this whole entire thing was based on questions. So you needed to be ready from moment one to ask, to be able to answer any question that related to it, which I think requires a different level of focus. And it's what I think almost necessitates having a facilitator who can, you know, call the questions and deal with the people who are in there, and someone who can take care of all the mechanical stuff, you know, that's happening. So I see that as a real important difference, is the right word, but reality, that this type of presentation, be it workshop or whatever, because it's a flipped classroom, because it is, you know, everybody is ready to come in and ask the questions, the teachers need to be ready to answer them from the moment that the session starts.
And I think the learning facilitator has to be very mindful about honoring what's going, because there was a ton of activity in the chat, questions, comments. So ensuring everyone feels heard, you know, so that's even acknowledging by name. Oh, Sally noted that. So it's weaving, peppering that in without derailing the conversation, which is, you know, it is a skill that you need to be able to hone in. How do I ensure everyone feels seen and valued and heard? No different than if we were going around the room and writing everything on a whiteboard. The facilitator became the live voice for the typed out stuff.
Your role, Rebecca, as facilitator. I have only presented one webinar ever where I felt that held, and where the group felt that held. And that was James, who's no longer at Pano. And again, it was someone who knew me, so I wasn't coming in cold. And it wasn't, today's presenter is going to be Hill, did I say that right? Hildy. And so what you were able to do is you felt that role of holding the space for the participants, and felt the role of holding the space for Christy and me, and you weren't just there for those two. You were there to make sure that the learning was clear, that the learning was happening, because you dove in at several points and either augmented a point that Christy or I had said, or asked another question, or brought it out of us. And so you were actually facilitating us at several points. When one of us may have said something, the other, and so I think that there's a really, which doesn't happen. I mean, it normally, you know, I've been in these things normally.
But it's also because it took the time. So this is part of our future workshops and learnings. The people need to know each other and be comfortable. Whoever's going to be in the room, that team, whoever's stepping into being a part of workshops with us values that time. If they don't already know each other, to know what strengths that will create if they spend some time in some Zooms getting to know each other before even diving into creating the workshop together.
Yeah, I'm looking at the fact that there was the time spent with the two facilitators. There was the time spent with the two instructors, with you, Rebecca, the facilitator. And then there was the time spent with the two instructors, Rebecca and Dimitri, you two having already talked about what the process would look like and the tech would look like, bringing Christy and me into that. So all of that pre-work going into it and realizing that's what it takes. Those are checklist items of what it takes to make sure that people are feeling that flow and that the space is being held for everybody.
And obviously this will be time commitment, and all of this will vary based on, you know, if this is a repeated one, if the people have been together before, you know, that we just need to be prepared that all of this needs to happen you know, in the big picture. So,
well, that will then fuel the scheduling. A criteria around the scheduling and reverse engineering will be, do these two people know each other? Because if they don't, this workshop will push them way out because we're going to give that slow time for them to get to know each other.
Yeah, really. Can't think unless I'm writing. Sorry.
I'm writing.
I'm writing down the number of meetings that we had prior to make sure that we were all on the same page. You know, mm-hmm. So we're talking about doing another of the same workshop, the Collective Enoughness Workshop, in the fall. And that Christy and I would do that one again. Rebecca and I were talking yesterday. Christy and I will do that one together again before we have somebody else join with Christy, and I won't be it. It'll be Christy and maybe Iffy or whomever. But you can bet that Zoom will have changed something in the technology between mm-hmm. now and October. Mm-hmm. And you can bet that if we don't do a walkthrough, I'm going to be up all night the night before going, did something change? Am I going to press the wrong button? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it really, it gets back to your assumptions comment before, Dimitri, that, you know, not making the assumption of, yeah, well, we did the walkthrough already. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the quote unquote tech calls before all of our immersion courses, and that you have a pre-class tech call with everybody in each session, regardless of, yes, you took the 101 and now you're about to take the 102, but let's do a refresher. And if nothing else, we'll just touch base. Mm-hmm. And that you're very explicit that the purpose of the call is that they feel comfortable. And I'm recalling how many people said, I got a new laptop and I just want to check the camera. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, what a gift is that to be able to have that, because I don't have anybody I can do that with.
Well, it's also a reminder that this is a person-to-person friendly place. And so, yes, if we're looking at, they had a tech call a year ago when they took, you know, 101, and now they're in 102, taking the third 102 or whatever. That's a long time. And even if nothing has changed, just the reminder that, this is a place where you feel comfortable and that this is the resource that's here. And if you want to test your new laptop, let's do that. Let's do whatever so that everything, we know everything is working. And as you said, Hilly, the technology is constantly on the march. And who knows a year later what's, you know, not only is the technology changing, but so are, you know, people's individual circumstances. They may have a new ISP or a new router or a new, you know, whatever. So all of that enters into this.
I'm just thinking back to pre-technology, how I used to go to drive someplace and every so often. And instead of my mother saying, well, you know how to get there, you've been there before, which is the same of, you know how to use it. She would still take the time, because I'd always lose her handwritten note on how to get to this place down in Philadelphia, and she would rewrite me the instructions. So that was in a way of just supporting me and not being like, how could you not know how to get there? Like, how could you, you know, not making the assumption of, well, you've used the tool before. I'm like, yeah, and I don't remember anything. So instead, we are here so you feel comfy and connect.
Right. Yeah, that feeling and assurance. And so here's the question that is really ripe in my mind at this moment. Holding the space for the functions that the two of you took. So we've talked a lot about what it looks like to hold the space for the instructors and for the participants, both before and during. And I'd love to talk about holding the space for them afterwards. Before and during, what does it take to hold the space for you guys? What would hold the space for you guys? What would give you the assurance? What do you need to have?
First, to know the people. know, the to know our guests, like to have that time to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm. It would also probably be helpful in your role, and we'll just call them your roles for now, but others will be mm-hmm. taking those roles. In your role, Rebecca, as the learning facilitator, knowing the content.
Yep.
You can't just be coming in cold. You've got to have a sense of the content.
And in my role, probably the time and the space to dry run things with other people. You know, because I have had years and years and years of playing with the tools. So there's an intuitive sense of how something works. And even though I am here to assure you and to create a sense of assurance, that doesn't mean that I will be feeling what you're feeling when you come into that. So I could very easily make my own assumption that, well, that's easy. Or, you know, like your mom, assuming you've been there before. Mm-hmm. So having the opportunity to dry run these up to and including the thing that Rebecca was talking about before about how the handoffs would work when someone wanted to, you know, I mean, we have the remarkable ability to bring people into a live on-screen workshop. That is a remarkable ability that most these kinds of events don't. You know, you can text.
And they may have the ability and they just don't do it.
They mm-hmm. generally don't. But yes, they may have the ability, they generally don't. We're going to facilitate that as being part of this process. So our ability to have time together to practice this, I think, is important from this role's perspective so that it's smooth and no gotchas.
Yeah, so interestingly, just like anybody who's gotten a new webcam or wants to walk through things, it's helpful to know that you're there. You, as the tech person, need to have that comfort that you understand the system. Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to be teaching it, and that's in essence what I'm doing to others, and holding the space for others, I need to know it, and I can't assume myself.
Right. So the that gets back to Rebecca's time frame comment before, that when we're flow charting out what it actually takes from deciding we're going to do an online workshop to the day of the Q&A. Mm-hmm. Flow charting enough time that even if you've done 10 in the past month to see, has anything changed? Because, you know, we're using Zoom as a platform, but all platforms right now are changing right. constantly. Mm-hmm. Right. And so your ability to build that in, I think, is really important.
And I'm thinking of future experience holders, you know, future yes. other than Dimitri is, even all the knowledge in Dimitri's head that's not documented, but troubleshooting. Like, here are the most common problems that people seem to have, and here's a couple things. And it could also be in a content delivery that the person could copy and paste it to the person. You know, like, here are the, it's set up for the end user to be able to try to fix their system or something. So,
yeah.
You know, there is a component here that I think is really interesting, and that is the, it's not just the information, because the information is, you know, you could have a bot do that for you. It is the relationship. It is a human connection. So it's important that in every one of these roles, there is both the opportunity and the actualization of a human relationship with people. And believing the best in it. And to elaborate more where I'm coming from, years ago worked with a group of people who we officed with that did computer work. And there was a guy who was immensely capable. And he also was immensely disdainful of the customers that they had, who paid the bills, who, you know, paid his salary, because they didn't know what he knew. and they were incompetent and illiterate. Those are the
kinds
of
terms.
I'm
not working with stupid people. I've had it working with stupid people. And we would look at each other and go, you do realize that, quote, stupid people, i.e. people who don't understand technology, are the reason you're in business? Because if they knew this stuff, they wouldn't be here.
And it's coming in with an intent of honoring people, I guess, is what I'm trying maybe to distill it. Coming in with the intent that even though the information transfer here is technology, it is in a way that honors them wherever they are. You know, if I'm teaching a 5-year-old something, I still honor the 5-year-old. I don't think the 5-year-old's stupid because they don't know something. If I'm teaching a 90-year-old, you know, they could probably teach me a lot of stuff, you know, that they know. So it's just coming in with a sense of honor.
I think it's the honoring, but yet it's also you have to feel honored because in the sense of, and I want to be able to have the stuff I need so that I can actually help them.
Yeah.
Because I am here for their experience. So what's all the stuff I need to feel comfortable and confident that I can help them?
Yeah.
Both like, and even like in the real time experience, like when the thing's live and, oh gosh, they're missing out because they're trying to futz with their computer and I can't help them, you know, versus what does whoever's in your role, Dimitri, need documented so that they can.
Yeah, and the thing that's occurring to me is that just like Rebecca, we were talking about that role needs to know the people and know the content. You're talking about time for building the relationships with the instructors and whomever else and knowing the technology. The thing that both roles need to be steeped in is catalytic thinking, is understanding why. Because having a tech person and saying, you're not the tech person, you're in charge of the experience, and you're holding the space for the experience, and you're building relationships with these people, and they're going, I do technology, is very different than some of the tech people whom we work with a lot, who understand catalytic thinking, who understand that their role is to ensure that people feel comfortable and feel part of the experience and that the experience is solid for them. And the same with that facilitative role of the learning is understanding that. I think there's practitioners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's not a tech role because that's where people go. Is, you know, well, you know, I can do it. I know tech. Okay, yeah. And this is about people. And this is about questions. And this is about holding space and listening. Two things that are... is there anything else that would, as you think back, where you felt uncomfortable or unsure that would hold the space for you feeling more comfortable and more sure?
I would say that having had the experience of what this is, I feel more comfortable not having had the experience of what it was going to be and what the different roles were. I would have felt more comfortable had there been more, I talked about doing some dry runs of this. And, you know, we did as much as we could. But, you know, again, realizing that everybody's busy and doing much more.
Well, and what's occurring to me as you're talking, Dimitri, is the ability to apprentice. So that you're not, just like we do with everything else, with creating the future, you're never alone. It's never trial by fire that you have to know this. You're learning it with somebody. You're going through it with somebody until you're comfortable to do it. And then you're able to hand that over where you're together, but that other person is doing it. And then you can walk away and then they can.
Yeah, because even if we tried more dry runs, the reality is until we had real humans in there, you can't, that's when you have that first experience. Like everyone has their first time. And now to add on the apprentice part of it would be wonderful. You know, now we've all had an experience. So we
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about the beginning of the session, which is just going to go down in history for me, of our thinking nobody was there. Because we hadn't clicked the button to know that there were.
Yeah, well, you know, the button is optional. You know? We don't have to click the button.
Oh, we have participants. Wow.
Oh, my gosh, they're there.
Well, and that is exactly what you're saying, that unless we actually had participants in the dry runs, we wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Or had someone who had done this before to be able to say, this is what's happening.
Yeah. Because what it does in having that sort of apprenticeship model is that you could do as many dry runs as you want. It's still entirely up to you. Yeah. You're alone. And if it messes up, you messed it up. And I'm not saying any of us would ever say that, but you would feel that.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can team with some, you know, Rebecca and I have been co-teaching now for 2 years, three years. And just the ability to breathe that comes with having somebody else. Mm-hmm. And to know that I'm going to learn this from somebody and I'm not going to learn it by them telling me, I'm going to learn it by watching it and seeing it in action and where I'm not responsible. I mean, that's the big part, I think, Dimitri, is that you doing all the dry runs, you're responsible. Mm-hmm. And as we're talking about what does it take to hold the space for you to feel assured, I'm really liking this idea in both roles of apprenticing. We would do that with instructors. You know, once Christy has taught this twice, Rebecca, if you're facilitating and Christy is co-teaching and, you know, I'm saying if he, as an example, steps in, she'll be held because Christy will have already done it. You will be able to be there to facilitate, and we're never leaving somebody out to dry, and the person that we tend to leave out to dry is your role, Dimitri.
Yeah.
What you thinking about? Because I can see you thinking about stuff.
Yeah, I'm wondering how it would work, because the technology, to a certain extent, is... Are you still there?
Yes, we are.
Okay, it just dinged at me. I didn't know if I lost you. The technology, to a certain extent, you know, it's mechanical. I mean, you know, pressing a button here to do this. And
we'll figure out how it can work.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, I'm sorry, I'm process-based.
No, so. we'll put that in the parking lot for talking about, you know, I mean, this is a whole role. Is it thundering or something out there?
No, it could be. Is it my chop sock?
It got dark. But I'm thinking about this is a whole new role that we're talking about creating, and I think we absolutely need to have a completely separate plan for it, which is awesome.
And
looking at it again from the point of view of you know, what is possible, what does good look like, creating that, loving this. The two other places that I'm really thinking about. The holding space is way before, like in the sales and promotion part, and after. I think the before is a faster conversation, so let's maybe have that one, and then really talking about what does it look like to hold the space afterward. Because our goal is not that people take a workshop, our goal is that people learn. Mm-hmm. That's our mission. Our mission is that they take this and they apply it. So wherever you guys want to go, pick the one you want to play with, and we'll play with that one.
Well, I'm you know, what I'm also thinking about is we've been talking about the tech of the session, but
right.
There's also a whole realm of tech that starts with actually literally right after the promo with the registration. We were experimenting with a different kind of registration process here. How does that work? What could we do with that? And so there is a whole almost component that deals with that. The communication component, we talked about emails. How can this be set up in a way that happens? How can this be automated in a way that still maintains the personal aspects of it, but doesn't require the wheelbarrow, wheelbarrow the bricks to the retaining wall
every day. Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our having a real good solid conversation about the technology, the promotions, registration, and up to the point of the Q&A, the communications technology, I guess, is what that's about, because registration is a form of communication. I think that's...
But it's also tied to the, what is the philosophical approach in that? So, we had a pay the value you think it's worth thought that was built into this. Well, that's a value that that drives what the technology was going to be. So it's important that be part of that conversation.
Very much so, yeah. And that's also part of the experimental part of this, is that we were experimenting with so many different things all at once and chose the really both wise as in it really was wise, and wise as in wise ass, no it wasn't, week of July 4th to launch this, wise in the fact that, you beta things when they're slow, and not so smart in the, we don't really have a sample, but I think that we will also be repeating many of these with little tweaks, and maybe repeating them exactly the same 3-4 times with the same content. So we don't know if the pay what you believe it's worth and what you can afford until we do it exactly the same way with the same content, differently with the same content, and then take those two variables and change the content, we have no idea what the answer is. The how, though, is what you were talking about, Dimitri, is how do the technology of what supports that, regardless of what it says or how we do it, what we say, that technology piece is part of that conversation.
Right. And that deals with platforms, that deals with lots of things which get into right now, but I think it's really critical because that's a really big part of it. That's part of the experience. The registration is part of the experience, and that it's important that be consistent and do what it's supposed to do. Get people to feel good about pressing a button and doing a thing and doing whatever it is that they need to do to move forward in this class.
And that tech conversation is part of the huge tech conversation we have looming around our whole back-end CRM, whatever kind of system. This, because this wouldn't be a discrete decision. It would be part of that much bigger one.
Yes, the whole back-end. And just to explain the fact that it has gotten so dark on your face, Dimitri.
Yeah, I'm going to turn the light on to see.
I'm
like right here. Hello.
You were entirely lit by daylight and the day went away. when it comes to, and I'll wait until Dimitri gets, we'll play the Jeopardy music.
We'll see if that's better.
It is definitely.
It's gotten very dark outside. You probably just said that and I didn't hear it, but.
It's okay. So when it comes to the stuff people need to know beforehand, holding the space for the participants before they're even participants, several questions arose. One had to do with the tuition. People feeling, I don't want to, what I think it's worth, I don't want to insult you, I don't want to. So some of it had to do with that experiment part, which again, I think we can set aside for now. Some of it, however, had to do with the fact that we had a flipped classroom, and that in this particular case, many of us were doing individual invitations to people to come. Mm-hmm. In the future, that's not going to be the case. In the future, we're going to put out a promotion that we're doing, you know, 7 workshops this month. And I don't anticipate, because everything we do at Create in the Future is that flipped classroom. We give people the time to absorb the material rather than saying, here, learn something fast, and now you better come up with questions because we're out of here. Everything we do is gives people, holds the space for them to learn and then breathe and then ask questions. So given that, the issue that came up a lot was, well, I can't be there on the day of the Q&A. Therefore, I won't register. Mm-hmm. When in fact, we were recording the Q&A, and they could ask questions in the discussion group afterwards. They could ask questions before. They could listen to the Q&A and then ask questions. And so I think there's a really big piece around holding the space for people who may want to take the class, but feeling they're excluded by the date. Mm-hmm. And what does it take for them to feel welcome? Maybe we're asking the reactive question. Maybe it's what do we want them to feel? What is it about the date? What does that date make possible? And I think maybe that's the questions that we need to be looking at.
I guess what I had been thinking once we launched it and we're getting some of those kind of comments back from folks, and that again is when we were doing lots of personal long conversations with individuals, is that the date is not the leader. Usually this is not an event, a date-driven event so much as there's a learning experience that includes all this good stuff, and whether you could be there live or not. So it doesn't lead out as an event on a calendar on a set date, I guess. And I'm trying to think of a different way to say.
Yeah. The thought that's occurring to me, so that we don't go into reactive mode of what would it take for people to attend? What would it take for people to know that it is the date, or that it's not the date, or that it doesn't matter the date? I think that there's a whole different set of questions that I would save for another time to be asked around that very specific issue of a flipped classroom is a different thing.
And I think that that's very different and new to many people.
Right. And what does that date flexibility make possible? And what does that flipped classroom make possible?
It's almost like a promo. It's almost like, you know, a trailer to a movie that, you know, you have the title of the movie and you sort of know what the subject is, but the trailer can really sell you on the movie by giving you a taste of it and by letting you know, this is going to be a comedy or this is going to be a horror movie, this could be whatever, but, oh, wow, you know, the special effects were great, or, you know, I love that actor or actress or actor or whoever. So it's almost like, what does a flipped classroom mean? Everybody's going to have their own mental picture of that. Maybe they need to be shown it.
I think that rather than get into the weeds of ideas about what to do, that's another area that we absolutely need to have a conversation about.
Yeah.
That whole issue of this is about educating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And our mission is about educating, and what we're educating about is the way we're doing education,
right?
Globally, right. I mean, it's mm-hmm. non-profit, for-profit. It's not anything. The way we're doing education just sucks, and so there's a big piece there, that I think I'd like to sort of chow down on a little bit.
I mean, the cool thing about this is that they could take it with them. They could be anywhere. They could do it. You know, I mean, you know, just from a, you know, what are the benefits here? The benefits are, you know, you could do it wherever you are. That's amazing.
And whenever, and that's a really different concept. And the fact that, okay, so most webinars these days are recorded. Right. So if you're not going to be there, don't worry, it's recorded. But that doesn't mean that you're going to answer my questions. And it doesn't mean that that I'm going to be able to ask, listen to the, A, my questions may not be included in, well, first of all, I'm not going to have questions because it's I'm not reading the material first. So I have no idea what the material is. And then I'm going to have questions at the end. And I may have questions after I've listened to the recording, even if I did attend, and I don't have the ability to ask it. Or what frequently happens is you get, and I say this, dumped into a Facebook community. We had a Facebook community, and we intend to keep adding to that. But you get dumped into a Facebook community where your instructors are not there. Someone else will answer the question. You won't get your question answered by your instructors. So that's mm-hmm. the norm that I'm used to. So I'm used to being told, doesn't matter if you're there, don't worry, it'll be recorded.
Yeah.
That's why I think I'd like to save this for another time rather than okay. in that rabbit hole right now, because there's some really good meaty stuff here that has to do with educating on how we educate, how globally education happens.
And before we step off of this, I just want to add to that, that it is about the questions. So if Creating the Future is about questions, it's about the questions. And it's not about the content, because here, have the content, it's yours. Mm-hmm. You know, we're giving you the content. It's the questions that we're valuing, and it's the questions that we're teaching you are the valuable things in it. And so I like that lens on this as we're talking about this.
And just in general, I think it's the power of noticing and normalizing the systems that people have experienced, all of us has experienced, and to hold that up and say, you know, we are about building healthy and supportive systems. So we're acknowledging this is how things are going on, yet we have learned from that, and this is why this experience is very different.
Very much so. Very, very much so. Is there anything else that happened before people even registered that we would want to talk about? We talked about the whole technology back end, and we talked about the fact that the tuition piece is an experiment, and we can't even start to talk about that yet. And
there's the whole development of a promo plan. Because we kind of got promoing as we could, right? As you know, but you know, what does a promo plan make possible?
Yes. Well, and I think that's I'm considering the number of sparks that went off in my head when you asked that question. That'll be a great
other conversation. Yeah.
There's also the development of the particular class, for lack of a better word. What's the subject? How does it come about? Who's involved in it? This is all pre-class. And some of these are sparked off of a great idea or a conversation between two people or whatever. And that's great. But that's also a pre-class thing.
I think that is going to come out of our educational objectives. So I think that there's a difference of where does the content come from versus how does this thing happen?
Right, but there's also, you know, we have an objective to talk about or to teach or to whatever this, but there's lots of different ways to do that. And that, yeah, I guess it would be part of the overall. By the way, it's getting very windy and dark outside. That's why I turned dark. Yeah.
And, very, very cool. Very cool. For those who are wondering what the hell is wrong with these people that they're so focused on the rain, both Dimitri and I are in Tucson, Arizona, where if you've ever seen movies of ancient times – where the rains come and the people dance and celebrate. That's what desert folk do. So we're like, rain. So yeah, sorry. When it comes to the promotions piece, the one thing that I wanted to remind is that we're always talking about promotion as an opportunity to educate and engage, and the difference between promotion and invitation. Mm-hmm. And that and the importance of both. And that if we remind ourselves that the promotion itself is an opportunity to educate and engage, that leads to a completely different plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, in that discussion, I'm thinking about all kinds of new channels that are popping up, you know, social media opportunities.
It's things like the very mindful decision to include the 30-minute video class that was at the core of the content on the promo page. So you don't want to take the whole class here, take this. It's boring.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like some up here.
Very exciting. The last piece is the after, and we really have not spent any time on the after. And we haven't spent time talking about the community, which I think it's one thing for people will feel alone before the actual Q&A. And so they may not be likely, unless they're very used to participating in an online discussion forum, they may not be likely to dive in while they're in their heads reading on their own and say, this stood out for me, because they're not accustomed to that, especially if they haven't been around Creating the Future a lot. What will it take? Why aren't they talking? They're not talking because they're not talking and they're not ready to talk. And I think honoring that and holding that and some people talking would be great and others not is fine. Lobbing out questions just so they're thinking about them. We can't make the assumption, as we frequently do, that they're not seeing it. They're seeing it. They're absorbing it. They're quietly thinking about it because that's what we've encouraged them to do. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's the after. Okay, they've met, we've chatted, we've had this interaction. What does it take to hold the space for them afterwards so that we're not just dropping them into that community and saying, have at it, especially in these early days where there's not a lot of people in the community.
And there's also an opportunity in the afterwards to link to the next.
Could you say that again, Dimitri?
There's also an opportunity in the afterwards to link to the next, whatever the next is. So if there are questions that are still unanswered, or that there are new, there's another workshop coming up. People here have experienced the reverse classroom, have experienced the question, have experienced this. They're at a different stage to appreciate the next one than someone who may not have experienced that. So yeah, it is. There's a continuum there, the way of thinking about it, and that after is important from the perspective of their own development to be able to, one, have their questions answered and fulfill and complete this experience to whatever it is, but also it opens the door to the next experience, whatever that may or may not be.
I think it also, it takes the facilitator of the learning. There needs to be in this community someone who is charged with the ongoing nurturing of the human beings in there. So, getting into the very detail, pulling out, like we talked about from the chat, different things people said and weaving it back in at a comfortable level, because also that is very new for people to have you now take their comment and even share it again, so just not even assuming, even if it comes from wanting to honor the person, that may be a very different way of being for you to take something I wrote in class a month ago and now share it for more conversation. So I think even noting the whole way of being is very new to many in there.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I think the importance of having someone be in charge.
So people know, like, that's who you could go to, or that's who's going to answer my question or connect the dot, or, you know, like, knowing Dimitri or whoever is your go-to person in here.
Yeah, you know what just occurred to me? I'm wondering if the person who's communicating with them from the beginning is not the instructors, but the learning facilitator. Welcome, I'm Rebecca. I'm going to be holding your hand through this entire process. And I'm going to be here when it's done. And afterwards, I'm going to be helping to facilitate conversation in the classroom. And, you know, throughout, we'll introduce you to Hildy and Christy or to whoever the instructors are. But I'm going to be here to hold your hand. I'm wondering if that's where that starts.
Mm-hmm.
That feels right.
Yeah. And that's also, I just imagine the email. Well, let me tell you a little bit about why I'm so glad Hildy and Christy will be your instructors. Just that's how we always are doing stuff around here.
Yeah.
It's the Sherpa. The Sherpa for the class itself, and you know you may have some other Sherpas that are in there.
And that's sorry, Dimitri.
That's fine. No.
That's allowing like the quiet thinkers who simply get the emails to get the emails and be Sherpa'd. Yet those people who want to actually engage in conversation. There's somebody here at Creating the Future who, if you write back with all kinds of thoughts and questions from the moment you start your experience with us, if you're new to Creating the Future, then that's the on-ramp to them stepping into who knows what in this highly networked platform at Creating the Future.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yay. And I think that also gets back to how we've talked about different templates and checklists, because then that learning Sherpa has templates, because if somebody says, I'm kind of interested in learning more, then the learning should... Wow! That is so good! the learning Sherpa then... has templates of emails of if people are saying they're interested in learning more. You don't have to go right from scratch. We have an e-journal. The e-journal is this. Here's the link. Here's our other community. Here's some great places for you to start. Like, we have that templatized that it's not only going to be used for this workshop, sure, but people would be using them for all kinds of folks who swim up. You know, so.
Yes. One of the conversations that we've had regarding our online immersion is the uselessness of most evaluation forms and the fact that most evaluation forms try, are conflating the interests of the participants and the participants, the instructors, and the institution. And the institution wants to know X, the instructors want to know Y, the participants want to know, we want to make sure that they have an opportunity to reflect on what they learned and embed learning. And we add with that, you know, did you like the food? And was the room warm enough? And so I'm thinking that being mindful of what furthers creating the future in a quote-unquote evaluation review, et cetera, afterwards? What furthers our interests as an institution so that we're furthering our education mission? What makes it better? What furthers the instructors? And what furthers the learning for the participants? So that we don't shove all of that into one email. you know, some of, for instance, what we've talked about, and I think that this is just a, such a bigger conversation, and we will have this separately. But some of what we have talked about with the online immersion is the fact that reflection happens throughout the entire process, from before they enter the class, when they have their pre-class calls with the instructors, and they're beginning to reflect on what difference they want the class to make. All the way through at every session, they are reflecting. Afterwards, we're talking to them and reflecting. The last class is all about reflection. Do we really need to ask them to reflect again? If we're in constant communication with them afterwards, are they not reflecting without being asked, please share with us, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So there's the holding the space there for that reflection. And that may start at the beginning as well. That may start with questions we encourage them to ask themselves prior to entering into the class. Maybe prompting them with some thought starters. If you don't have a question going into the Q&A, have you thought about how this relates to your life, how this, you know, whatever. And then really focusing on, okay, so if the purpose is what will help the instructors, having a conversation about what can a review make possible for the instructors afterwards, and what are the conditions that that needs to create, and separately, what will it make possible for creating the future's educational objectives, getting back to what you were asking, Dimitri, about how are we figuring out what we're teaching in the first place, and what goes into that and the content. And so I think that those are three separate conversations for us to have.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point because people get tired of redundancy when it's without when to them it seems without purpose. And I think being holding the space is also holding the space for their engagement and their interest level. And I think it's really important that it is about them in that context.
If we're holding the space for their potential, whether it's the potential of the instructors, the potential of the education program overall, or the potential of the participants, what holds that space for them? For their potential, not just for them as humans, but for their potential, which is the reason they're taking the class. They're taking class to get better at something, whether it's better at I know more, I'm getting a different perspective, or whatever. That's the potential of the class.
This is tying into the big conversations we're going to be having about holding the space as a system for all of our programs. You know, and that explicitly asking people way, way, way back to, because we are not accustomed to sitting and asking ourselves these questions. What is like my why? What is the difference I'm hoping this workshop will make? And by giving those prompts and giving those questions and letting them also understand why, to say it's pretty normal to just show up at the workshop and not really having given it that thought, but what could be possible if you give yourself that time to think about it before you step into the learning.
And understanding that, you know, understanding the continuum of potential as we do, we know that there's going to be a range of people who are taking the class for different reasons. And so there's people who are gonna slide in, maybe listen to the recording, maybe not, maybe read some of the stuff, maybe not, pay anyway, and because they're interested, and at the moment it occurred to them, and life got busy, and, sure. And then there's the ones who are like, I have been looking for this, I want. And there's a whole range between, and at every point, being able to say, oh, we're so glad you're here, and we're just so glad that you're reading that article. Yep. Awesome. And we're so glad that you're diving in, awesome, and everything in between. And frequently, I know I have recently signed up for a webinar with somebody that I know, wasn't able to show up and still haven't listened to the recording, even though it's something that's very interesting to me. And in conversation with that person, it was like, well, I know you signed up for it. Like, yeah, and I haven't watched it, and don't make me feel bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that will come to the explicit language we use, that's meeting people where they are, and that back to you. We're glad you're here, and we learn in different ways, we absorb in different ways. We're not prescribing what your learning experience looks like.
A lot of should in there.
Yeah, and we're learning from this too, and I think that that's really an important part of this, is that there is a reciprocal learning experience, opportunity, reality that's going on. That we're talking about different modes of learning. Well, we have modes of learning too, and we're learning from them by simply participating or not participating in this. So I think that that's an important
and
acknowledgement.
Different, we are learning different ways of sharing information. Mm-hmm. So that it reaches their potential. And we're not pretending to know. We're pretending to have some pretty solid research behind why we're doing what we're doing, and pretty solid experience in mm-hmm. what works. But it's our mandate to experiment. It's our mandate to step into stuff nobody's done. And to suggest that we're expert at stuff nobody's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was the beauty in saying in the workshop, we're an experiment and this whole thing is an experiment.
Yeah.
So we're learning with you.
Yeah. And
so we've talked about the very, very, very beginning, when they come to a promo page, there's registration, there's invitation, there's promotion on social media, they register. We've talked about the communication with them and the technology behind that before the live Q&A, while they are hopefully reading and watching videos. We've talked about what happens during the live Q&A. We've talked about what happens afterwards. We've talked about the role of the learning facilitator throughout, the learning of the experience facilitator throughout, holding the space for the participants, for the instructors, and for those two facilitators. Is there anything we missed?
I think it's covered by it. I was sort of thinking about future faculty, future participants, future, and I think, holding the space, and we talked about apprenticeship or mentors and whatnot. So that really is thinking about the future folks. So that was the only area that, as you were talking about this, I was thinking about. Might need more discussion, but I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty well.
Right, I think the apprentice thing really, really hits that. If we were to list, to sort of think back about the conversation through the lens of catalytic listening, what outcomes did you guys hear that we are aiming at? What do we want to be different?
That everyone feels comfortable and supported throughout the entire journey. So that's the team who's, from creating the future, as well as the participants.
Yeah. And that we model that
so that others can learn, so that everybody can learn that they can do that too. Mm-hmm. I think there's that whole piece of are always wanting to model and be explicit that what we're doing has a reason, and mm-hmm. we talked about being explicit about the why, and I think that's an outcome as well that we model that others can make you feel you can make somebody feel comfortable too. Mm-hmm. What other outcomes did we talk about?
Yeah, I want to say one of the outcomes is that these are events that happen smoothly, that they happen with joy, I guess, and that they are one of my outcomes, that they're more play than work, that everyone is having fun in them. And because I think that is clearly picked up upon by everyone in the process. I mean, this was great because all the people involved in this are all friends with each other, and they're all, you know, they could all laugh with each other. They could all, and that is the good fortune of this one. I'd like it to be the good fortune of all of them. So that would be an outcome that I would accept, that it be. For distilling it down smooth, using that.
Well, you know the rule at Creating the Future. If we're not laughing, then it's a really
yes.
Bad. You better be laughing.
I think an outcome is strong relationships, you know, both within the team, whether people knew each other or not, they're now deepening their relationships. And also we're providing the space for the relationships of all the participants to get to know each other as people and see what that makes possible. So,
yes. Two things that are striking me. One is the educational outcomes, that people learn deeply and apply what they learn. Mm-hmm. So that's one. The other is that we systematize. Mm-hmm. That's an outcome I was hearing in just about everything. You talk a lot about templates and checklists and making sure that whatever we're doing is systematized.
And systematized across the whole system.
Yeah.
You know, like it's because a lot of these things that we're systematizing in the workshops are also things that will apply to other parts of our programs.
Sure,
so
sure.
I think just maximizing impact of any template we create of what this template can make possible.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
The, I guess an outcome, and I'm trying to think about how to phrase it, is the ripples that this has at all different levels. So, you know, at the level of the tech, at the level of the engagement, at the level of the information, at the level of the relationship, at the level of all of those components here, how is that rippled into other things? Which is sort of what you were saying, Rebecca, is that you know, we're talking about the systemization transcending this workshop or these workshops, mm-hmm. and moving into the entire operation, manifestation of the vision of creating the future, or the mission of creating the future.
I think an outcome is we continue to share all of this, this meaning the highest potential of a workshop or learning or whatever you want to call it, but with the world, so that more people may look at how they, you know, see how maybe they have been doing things and think about it in a different way of honoring the participants, creating conditions for success. Because this is an example of us sharing our stuff. Like, please go forth. If you've learned something here, put it into play in your life and come have a conversation with us if you'd like. So,
Yeah, the thought that was occurring to me that I was scribbling before I lost it was another outcome is our desire to share what we're learning from the teaching, not just the content part. So you talked to Mitri about the ripples. It's what triggered me is that, sort of combining what you were saying and what Rebecca was saying is we want people to be thinking about, are there different ways to run education programs? And here's something that we've found, and here's some templates that we've created, and here's some ways of doing it that,
Hence this conversation itself.
Exactly. You know, we've talked often about, Dimitri, you doing workshops. I'd love you and Troy doing a workshop on being human within technology. My head just explodes at the thought of that. And then we would have to find somebody who could hold the space for the technology. It tickles me to think about.
Well, I have the cymbals between my knees, and I've got the drum and the fife.
Get the monkey with the accordion, and we're all set.
Yeah, that too.
Let's talk about the strengths that we identified. What strengths did we identify? Again, through the lens of catalytic listening.
A focus on the people.
Mm-hmm. I think catalytic thinking in general and the traditions that creating the future has created around catalytic thinking. The maybe not traditions, the frameworks, the patterns, the practices. Thank you.
The practices.
We honor the pace. What pace and rhythm it takes to create this, to get to know each other. You know, that's a strength that we hold front and center.
Human pace.
Human
pace. Yeah, very much so. I think there is a huge strength in our eagerness to explore and experiment and to be really upfront about we're learning. I know that's a strength that I rely on all the time. It is just so much to build on to just go, yeah, I'm not going to pretend I'm an expert. I'm gonna say we're trying stuff. We're learning from it. We're researching like crazy. But there's a beautiful strength to build upon in our being an experiment.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how that manifests in honoring the expertise of others. Saying this is an experiment, we don't know, we're researching, we're learning, or whatever. What do you know? What is your expertise or knowledge or experience in this? That becomes part of this this whole, and in that we are constantly sharing this, then that knowledge gets shared back out, so it gets to be built upon.
That expression about beginner's mind, that in the beginner's mind there are many possibilities, in the expert's mind there are few, that we have significant expertise. I've been researching this for 20 years. We have collectively, all three of us, been putting this into practice for many years. We have been experimenting for many years. So there is considerable expertise, but there is delicious delight in not calling ourselves experts. And that's the difference. And I consider delicious delight a strength. there's another strength in that it rained. I just needed to mention that one.
It was nice. And in typical of the rains here, it has stopped. Rained, and
soon. My guess is there's a rainbow someplace.
Yeah. And it'll be hot and stuffy.
Any other strengths that we identified to build on? One of the things that I am really seeing as a strength that occurred throughout this conversation was our attention to not going down the rabbit hole. To have this be a top-level conversation, so that we could focus mindfully and creatively without being reactive when it's time to focus on those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also because we hold the Space L parking lot for capturing those thoughts. So we can even say, not going there, but it's for that, you know.
And we will.
Yeah, it'll be at a future meeting where we're going to really dig in.
Yeah, yeah. Which will be awesome. And which we will do online with folks, not to worry. How about our values? What values were evident in our conversation today? And I'll start with relationship. What other values were evident in our conversation today?
It falls under relationships. So.
Well, go ahead.
I was just thinking about the value of honoring where people are. You know, honoring, you know, just who they are, where they are, and not judging or assuming anything about them.
And with each other, to give this note, give the space to the person to articulate what might not be clear, you know, to tell me more in action, like knowing that there's something there that one of us wants to communicate, which may be mushy at best in that first statement, yet not karate chop or assuming, like giving space for each other to explain our thoughts.
Yeah.
And that comes with a curiosity we all have to want to know each other's thoughts. And
I think a curiosity, period.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do value curiosity. That's the whole value of exploration and experimenting in the first place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Value of inquiry.
Kindness. And deep, deep trust.
Yeah.
And in participation. I joked when I said we'd be two lumps in the meeting, you know, but so it's that it's our responsibility to be very present in this conversation with each other.
Mm-hmm. It's not a monologue.
Well, and to honor Hildy holding the space for the conversation.
Mm-hmm. There's, thank you. There is also, for folks who are watching, there's also a real willingness to, if one of us is dealing with something where suddenly we cannot be present and not be participating, to say, let's just do this another day. And I think that that's really important, and it gets back to valuing relationships, because, well, we can say, okay, the three of us have been working together, you know, Dimitri and I have known each other for 1400 years. You know, we've been working with you. It feels like we might as well have been that long because we know each other that well, but I can't remember the last time I did anything with anybody at Creating the Future that I didn't know well. That we weren't able to say, wow, okay, that really sucks. And if we need to take this, it doesn't matter what we had planned. We'll figure it out. So that we can be participating and present with each other. I think that's a really big precursor to, it's not we must be participating and present with each other. It's we need to acknowledge that we're all human, and sometimes we can't.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really important. Because what people did not see before we started this conversation, before we started the recording, is that we asked two questions and spent 20 minutes talking about those questions. One was, what's coming into the room with you? How are you feeling? And what are you bringing into the room with you? And the second is, what's been awesome in your day, in your life? So the ability to touch base with each other and know where we are, it's hard to be present with each other if we don't know each other and know where we are. So I think that it's important for people who are watching this to know that it's not a mandate that you be present and participating,
It is that we create the conditions so that we can all be participating and present. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other, I would ask anybody who is watching this to please share in the comments what you see as the outcomes, the strengths, and the values that you've heard in this conversation today. And you'll be practicing catalytic listening when you do. Mm-hmm. It is time for reflection and time for, unless there's something else that you guys want to bring into the conversation, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of how to phrase it. And this has to do with relationship. It has to do with a lot of different components here. But that is a combination of patience and respect would fall under strengths.
And values, both.
And
yeah.
Values. Mm-hmm. That there is everyone is given time to tell their tale. And by virtue of that, there is a definite showing of respect for them and what they're thinking. So I think that those two are really tied together. And it's as I think back about our 2 hours here, whatever it is, that we are always not only ready to, but wanting to give each of us the opportunity to express themselves and honoring that time and space. So,
yes, very, very, very much so. And which brings up the value of what we frequently talk about as slow time, which is again exhibited in the fact that we give people a month to read and absorb material. And then we do 2 hours of Q&A, not 15 minutes. And not you just get a Facebook group, but 2 hours. It's that slow time and the wisdom that comes from allowing ourselves the slow time to have patience. Yeah, thank you for that, Dimitri. Mm-hmm. And as the three of us think of things, we can add it into the comments too.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this has been a remarkable conversation. I will encourage us all threes to sort of take a deep breath and to think about what is alive for you from this conversation. If you want to look through your notes, if there's anything that you might circle that's standing out, or if you want to just take a moment and reflect on what are you taking out of the conversation? What will be alive for you an hour from now that you'll be still reflecting on? What are you feeling? And I would encourage anyone who is watching to do the same. If you are watching this video, please share in the notes below, in the comments below. What is standing out for you? What are you feeling? What are you reflecting on?
Well, one thing I really love, first is the power of honoring the time in a debrief that's a celebration, as this was. Yet what is possible when you say we are going to take the time to have this conversation? Because look at how much we learned and uncovered and experimented with in this conversation. So I'm thinking just of the learning Sherpa being your travel buddy. And that speaks to what we've talked about for everything, having Sherpas and lunch buddies. So no different, surprise, yet it's this beautiful journey we went on in this conversation to think how awesome will that be to have your buddy, you know, on this journey with you, not telling you what you should be doing or participating in, but there as this, you know, steadily holding that space for you. So hooray for the learning Sherpa lunch buddy.
I love that. Yeah.
I guess I'm reflecting on the wholeness of this process, that it is, it's about the whole thing. And it's not about any one thing in particular, but because it's about the whole thing, it's about all of them. And every one of them gets at least touched in the course of this reflection, this overall debrief, which is an essence of reflection. So it is, and that the ability to remind each other, and I'm reminding myself, that don't need to fix it right now.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. Don't need to fix it right now.
That's a big
Moving
one.
On.
And that we will address it. We may not fix it, but we will address it, and we will create it. Yeah.
And that happens together. Again, it's not, oh, you go off and you have to go fix, you know, it's all the follow-on meetings that I'm very excited to have that were noted in your, like, those are big topics, and how we are actually excited about all the big topics.
Well, and what's, you know, I don't get excited about tech stuff, but I'm excited to have the conversation about the back end, because it's not about the technology. It's about the people. It's mm-hmm. about what that makes possible and what are the real outcomes that we want. Then it may be, Dimitri, could you go research and find what mm-hmm. will accomplish this thing? And could you gather some great minds together that could figure that out? But the conversation that we need to have is not going to be about tech. It's going to be about mm-hmm. all the stuff, all the people, or the people stuff. I'm loving the thought of the apprentice. That's really standing out for me. And I'm loving the list of strengths and outcomes and values that we came up with, because that's pretty beautiful. And I'm also smiling and reflecting on the fractal nature of everything we do at Creating the Future, that everything is everything else, that this conversation is exactly the conversation we're having about immersion. And, mm-hmm. you know, Rebecca, you mentioned that we're going to be having we're going to spend two full days talking about what it looks like to hold space from start to finish throughout every program at Creating the Future. The conversations just keep, you know, what's happening in one realm is mirroring what's happening mm-hmm. elsewhere. And it's not surprising, because we're using catalytic thinking, and it's always going to be about the people. It's always going to be about assuming there's enough. It's always going to be using causality, aiming at what we want. And what we want is pretty simple. We want it to be fun and joyful and people to learn and know each other, love each other. That's pretty awesome. Any final words to say to folks before we say goodbye?
We hope to hear from you.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay tuned, because you never know what's next.
Exactly.
Bye.
Bye.